have had a excellent morning already, and I guess maybe you'd want me to pray and we'll go home. Maybe not just yet. The Lord has a few things that we need to talk about for just a bit. And I'm very pleased because as we move toward Resurrection Day, 2 weeks from today, Sunday, Easter Sunday, March the 31st, we will celebrate the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ walked out of the tomb and he lives. And I hope we celebrate that every day. I hope that today, tomorrow, every day, we'll celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Absolutely. But today, I have the privilege of telling you a story. Now, it's a story that you know many of the aspects of, but I hope that you will listen to it prayerfully so that you might gain something else from this powerful story about Jesus Christ and his mother Mary here on this earth. I have been led to entitle this sermon today, A Sacrificial Journey of a Son and the Mother. And so we're going to talk about sacrifice. We're going to talk about what Mary and Jesus went through and how their relationship moved through the years of Jesus' life here on this earth. Now, part of the inspiration for that, for this sermon, comes from some words in a very popular Easter or resurrection song called Then Came the Morning. And so I want you to listen to this because it says, "The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, someday her son would live again. Then came the morning." And what was that morning? It was a beautiful, glorious, miraculous, amazing resurrection day. Because he was dead and then he was alive. But for today's efforts, I would like for you to go back with me about 34 years before that resurrection day with Jesus Christ. Go back to when Mary, as a young 15-year-old woman, had a visitor. And the visitor's name was Gabriel, an archangel. The angel came in to see Mary, and what was she? She was terribly afraid, and so would you be, and so would I be, if Gabriel walked up in front of me. And so what did the angel say? He looked at Mary, and he said, "Do not be afraid, because you have found favor with Almighty God, and you're going to be the mother, you're going to bear a child, and this child is going to be called Jesus, and he's going to come to deliver people from sin. He's going to come to be ruler, and his reign will last forever." And in that, Mary certainly heard the angel say that you're going to bear a child. And so Mary said, "Well, how can that be? Because I am a virgin. How can I bear a child, having not known a man?" And the angel said, "Well, the power of Almighty God is going to overshadow you, and through this power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to conceive this child that you will name Jesus." And Mary's response in absolute commitment said, "I am the Lord's servant, and as you say it, so it shall be." And so at that point, yes, Mary conceived. And we know that 9 months, natural birth process, she and Joseph lived with the fact that she was pregnant and about to have a child. And that was a trying time, but the angels took care of them. God took care of them. They gave them messages. They knew that they were doing what God was asking them to do. And then Mary and Joseph, the time is coming close, and they had to take a trip. And we know from Scripture, it says that they took a trip to Bethlehem. And the trip was no small matter, because they lived in Nazareth, about 80 miles away. And so in that day and time, certainly they had no real easy means of transportation. And so as far as we know, they walked. Yeah, I told y'all last week that they didn't ride a donkey, although that's a common picture. But apparently they walked this 70 or 80 mile trip, and that usually would have taken them 4 days. And so they got to Bethlehem, and Mary was getting closer and closer to the time of birth. And they were tired, and they found no place to stay in Bethlehem. And so they found a manger or a stable, or some people say even a cave, in which they could just rest and see what was produced with this child that was coming. And as we know, Mary gave birth to Jesus in that stable and laid him in a feeding trough, probably for his cradle. Now, never is the birth of a child quiet. There's a time of celebration, and there's a time of noise. Mostly the crying of this beautiful child and your beautiful children. And so, but mainly there was no crowd around. There was no big celebration there at the manger. But we do know from Scripture that there was a celebration outside of the city of Bethlehem, out in the fields where there were shepherds looking over their sheep. And we know that there was an angel of the Lord that came to declare the good news that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had been born. And so the angel shared that with the shepherds. And then there was a host. Now, how many are a host? I don't know. 25 or 250. But there were a lot of angels singing and praising God and celebrating the goodness of this birth of this child called Jesus. And when the angels had left, we know that the shepherds said, "We must go into Bethlehem. We must go and find this baby. We must go and find the Mary and Joseph, the mother and the father." And so the shepherds went in and found the manger, found the stable, worshiped the Lord. And then they shared with particularly Mary, the mother of this child. They shared all the wonder and all that had happened, all the great celebration that was out in the fields outside of Bethlehem. And Scripture says that Mary pondered these things and treasured them in her mind and heart. Now that tells us something about Mary. She knows something special is happening here. She knows that Jesus Christ is not just an ordinary child. And she is celebrating that as the mother of this child. Now Jesus is just a baby. Now, something happens right after that with Mary and Joseph. That's very, very important, because they took Jesus, they went back to Nazareth, and then they made a trip to Jerusalem, to the temple, because the law said that this new baby was to be consecrated, was to be dedicated to the Lord. And so they went, and they found a man named Simeon. And Simeon was a godly man, a prophet, a praying man. He prophesied, and he blessed Jesus, and then he spoke to Mary and Joseph as the earthly parents of this child, and he told them that Jesus was going to be one that would be a part of the rising and the falling of the Israelites and the Jewish people. And then he turned and he said something very, very poignant to the mother, Mary. He looked her right in the eye and he said, "And Mary, you as the mother, you will have a sword that pierces your heart and your soul." Now that's all he said. But we're told that Mary treasured these things in her heart as she left. And so they went back to Nazareth to be a family. Joseph, Mary, Jesus. And we hear nothing else about this mother, child, and this family for 12 years. Now, our realization is that they went back in a sense of health and perfection. They celebrated fatherhood and motherhood and Jesus being a son, and he grew and gained strength until he was age 12. And now we see Jesus and the family in another experience. They go again to Jerusalem for a Jewish festival. Jesus is 12 years old now. Now we think, 12-year-old, man, that's still just a child. But I wonder if during that day, if in fact Jesus was more mature than that, he was ready to take on some responsibility. And we're about to see in this wonderful story a transformation between mother and son. Because as they're there in Jerusalem at this festival, it's over, and now Joseph and Mary are packing up their things and getting ready to go. They're getting ready to go back to Nazareth. And as they pack up and leave, they travel for one full day. And then they discover that Jesus is not with them. He's absent. Now, they didn't know that, and that seems strange, but I'm sure they were distressed. And again, think about Mary. She is a loving mother. She loves Jesus very much, and she takes her mother responsibilities very seriously. And so now they don't know where Jesus is. And so they hurry back to Jerusalem. But Scripture tells us that they look for Jesus for 3 days. And that seems like a long time. But Scripture says that, so I believe that. And so for 3 days, they're looking for their son. Can you imagine? Please put yourself in their place as a mother, as a father. 3 days, they don't know where Jesus is. And they're looking desperately. And then they find Jesus, and he's in the temple, sitting with the priests and the teachers of the law, these leaders of the Jewish faith, and Jesus, this 12-year-old, is talking to them, answering questions, asking questions, discussing deep subjects with these men of godly law. And Mary walks in and looks at Jesus, and here's a bit of a reaction between mother and son. She says, "Son, why would you treat us this way? Where have you been? Why did you separate yourself from us?" Now, to be honest, I think Mary was a little miffed or maybe angry at Jesus because he had disappeared. But what was Jesus' response? And this is very important because a transformation is taking place here, because Jesus looks at Mary and says, "Well, don't you realize that I needed to be about my father's business? I needed to be in my father's house." And why is Jesus saying that? Father, isn't Joseph the father? No. See, there's something changing in Jesus now, because Jesus has been and will continue to be a loving son to Mary. But now Mary is hearing her son say, "I need to be about my father's business, and this is my father's house." Where were they? They were in the temple. This change is taking place. I believe that this represents a sacrifice, a point of grief for this mother, because there's something in this that indicates that maybe she is losing her son, that he's moving into something different. And he is. However, according to Scripture, they pack up and they go back to Nazareth. They go home. And we hear nothing else about Jesus for 18 years. Now, that's a long time. And so from the time he was 12 to the time he was 30, we don't have any information about this young man, Jesus Christ. Now, there are all sorts of legends started, but we don't pay any attention to those because they're not in Scripture. But Jesus now moving through, and he's being obedient to his mother, to his dad, his earthly dad. He is being a child of respect. Remember, Jesus is perfect in all matters. And so now he's lived and obeyed and been a part of the family. And I believe that is just a statement of his love and respect for his mother. Now, many people believe that by this time that Joseph, the earthly father, that he had died. And so now we have Mary and Jesus, and then they had some other children. And so now we look at Jesus, and he is age 30. And he starts his ministry, and he starts gathering some people around him, some helpers. They're called disciples, Peter and James and John and some of those fellas. And Jesus and his mother Mary and some of the disciples are invited to a wedding. The wedding takes place in Canaan. Now, you know this story. It's an important story. But again, we see something very unusual between Mary and her son, Jesus. Remember, there's a change taking place. And so Jesus has already started his earthly ministry. They go to this wedding, and they find out that the banquet, the host of the wedding, had run out of wine. And so Mary does something that a lot of mothers do sometimes. Hope you don't. My mother did. But Mary hinted. She didn't say, "Jesus, they need some wine. Would you fix some wine for them?" That would have been a request or even a command. But she hinted, because Scripture says that Mary just came up to Jesus and said, "They've run out of wine." And that's all that Mary said. And Jesus, again, in this changing pattern, he said, "Woman, why do you involve me? Because my time has not come." Remember, he's right at the first of his ministry. Yes, he was going to do many miracles and healings and amazing things. But for some reason, at this point, when there was some indication of making the water into wine, he said, "No, my time has not come." But then Scripture tells us that Mary turns to the servants and says, "Just bring the water jugs, the water barrels to Jesus." And we know that Jesus turned all of that water into not just wine, but excellent wine for the banquet host. And so here there is a bit of a conflict, because Jesus first says, "No, my time has not come." He is being Jesus Christ, Lord and Master, but he also is being an obedient, cooperative son. And they make the wine and they serve it, and it's better than any wine that they've had. Then we see one other interesting encounter between Mother Mary and Jesus, because Jesus has now moved into his full-blown ministry. He is all about the area. He's teaching, he's healing, he's doing miracles, he is taking care of people. And then Mary and some of her other sons, brothers to Jesus, come to where Jesus is, and they're outside the building. Jesus is inside, and Jesus is teaching and dealing with people and dealing with all sorts of things related to his ministry. And somebody from the outside comes in and says, "Jesus, Your mother is outside and wants to see you. Now, this is a bit of a difficult thing to understand, but it's very important to understand what we're talking about here today. Because Jesus, at that request, your mother is outside and wants to see you, Jesus turns to all of those that are inside, his disciples and the other believers, and he says this. He said, "Who is my mother and my brothers? These that are right here that do the will of the Father, that follow me and do what God's asked us to do, these are my mother and my brothers and my sisters." Now, that makes me a little sad. Why? Because there's this mother outside the building that is having to sacrifice and realize that this change is taking place between Jesus and herself. And yet, the sense is that this is all part of God's plan. One more instance with Jesus and Mary. Very important, but also very significant to this whole change of which I speak. This takes place the day of the crucifixion. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He has been there for some hours. He has not said much of anything. Very few words while he's on the cross. But as he's on the cross, he looks to the foot of the cross and he sees his disciple, one of his favorite disciples, if you would, John. And he looks at John and he says, "John, please look at this woman over here, Mary, Jesus' mother." And he says, "John, behold your mother." And then he looks at Mary, Jesus' mother, and he says, "Mary," he didn't call her mother, he says, "Mary, behold your son." Do you know what happens right there? Jesus is replacing his sonship with John. Now, why is all this taking place? Why is this transformation there? Because in this, Mary plays two roles. She is a mother, certainly. A mother called by God and blessed by God and impregnated by the Holy Spirit and raising this child, young man, this man, Jesus, up. She is a mother. But she also is becoming a disciple. She's becoming a follower of Jesus to worship him and to follow him. And so this is part of it. Now, Jesus also is going through a transformation because Jesus plays two roles. Jesus is a son, and a loving son, a respectful son, an obedient son, perfection. Jesus is a son. But now Jesus is becoming the Lord and Savior, even for his mother Mary. And that's a beautiful picture. And yet it is also tugging at the heart. Because that's why I call this a sacrificial journey. Because both Mary and Jesus had to sacrifice. Mary had to give up her motherhood and become a disciple, a follower. Jesus had to give up his sonship and become Lord and Savior and Master of even his mother and also of all of us and all of mankind that believe in him. And so there was a drastic transformation that took place in this. And the key word in this transformation was sacrifice. This was not an easy journey for either of these, mother or son, because they had to sacrifice. Now, why would I say this to myself and to all of us here today? First of all, because it is true. Scripture says so. We believe it. Secondly, because there's a lesson in this for all of us, myself, for you. Because here we see these two amazing people, Mary the mother and Jesus the Lord, going through this difficult journey and sacrificing things that were very valuable and important to them. The lesson for you and me is that sacrifice, that word that we don't like a lot, that word is at the very center of our Christian experience. And it's taught many, many, many places in Scripture. It's taught by Jesus. He said it several times. And I'm saying to you and me that for us to be committed, dedicated Christians, we need to be willing to sacrifice, because our Lord Jesus and his mother even went through all of this that we've talked about here in the last 30 minutes. And so I know that sacrifice is difficult for you. I know it's difficult for me, because we are sinful, selfish people. We want to do it our own way. And when you sacrifice, and I've said to you many times, and I will continue to say it, sacrifice goes along with two other words. And these three words are things that I know that we don't really like a lot. Sacrifice is there, surrender is there, and submission is there. And those are a part of this whole process of being disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is what Mary did. And this is what Jesus led her in doing, is for her to sacrifice and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. My question to you, my question to myself, is through these examples, through this witness that we see from Mary and Jesus, through Scripture saying, bear your cross daily and follow me, that's, you got to sacrifice in order to do that. What about the one that says, if you want to find your own life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, then you will find it. Sounds like sacrifice. You can't do it your own way. I can't do it my own way. And we have the way that Jesus leads us in. And so the question is, number one, do we want to follow Jesus? Number two, do you want to have a rich, abundant life that Christ wants to give us? Now, that's the message, I believe, and I am very thankful for what Mary and Jesus, mother and son, gave to you and me. I pray that you will think about it. I'm thinking about it. To be honest, and not because I'm doing it sitting here before you today, but I've never heard anybody. I've heard hundreds of sermons and hundreds of teachings, and I've never heard anybody talk about what Mary and Jesus went through during that period of his earthly life. And I think it's a wonderful message to me, to you, of sacrifice and commitment to the Lord and to the Lord's way. So I'm asking you to look at yourself and, under God's guidance, to sacrifice as he leads you. Let's pray together for a moment, please.